Hello, folks. This is Dr. William Curtis with Future Focus Family Medicine, the NRG Tribe, and the WFO Life podcast. I wanted to do a quick episode to sort of bring you current perspectives on COVID-19. In the last 2 weeks, we have seen pretty much nationwide, but certainly in my area of the world, a uptick in the number of cases that we are seeing. The community that I work in South Texas really only had a pretty nominal amount of cases in the initial wave, as it, you know, when it was really big in New York City and everywhere else. Our area was fairly quiet, so it really didn't see a lot of cases leading up to this. In the last 2 weeks, however, we have seen a spike, let's call it a secondary wave, where maybe due to increased travel, I don't know if it's, you know, everybody sort of going back to regular life activities, even with some restrictions, we're seeing what they expected to happen, was that, which is that secondary surge of cases. Now, what's, I think, reassuring right now is that there is care available. Unlike certain situations across the world, and certainly New York City and others where there was this cry for help due to shortages of equipment and help, you know, ventilators and things like that, this doesn't seem to be the issue right now. This secondary wave, although there's a lot of cases that have, you know, there's a statistical increase, we're not seeing a lot of, you know, crisis demand on the hospital, so to speak. That's how things look so far as of the date of this recording. So from my practical experience, I want to share with you that most of the cases I have treated have been treated via telemedicine. I do see these people face-to-face and listen to all their stories and experiences. Most of the cases I have treated are mild. Yes, there have been some chronically ill people that have become sicker. In fact, just yesterday I sent one to the hospital that was, you know, chronically ill and looked more sick than the average patients that I've seen. So this sort of fits with what we are experiencing or what we've heard on the news that, hey, people at risk, such as diabetics, people with congestive heart failure, people with known heart disease, and of course, people over 75 years of age are at higher risk for more severe infection. It doesn't mean it's a death sentence if you get COVID-19 and you have one of these conditions. Please be aware of that. But it just means that we need to be very careful. We need to take it very serious. And you, a person that gets sick that has those issues might need to be much more aggressive about getting hospitalized care. It's also been interesting because I'm seeing a lot of cases where people are working in an environment, somebody turns up positive in their office, and so then, you know, they clear the floor out, everyone has to get tested, you know, this kind of thing. And so keep in mind that part of that reaction, you know, sending people home and don't come back until you have a negative COVID-19 test, all these things, be aware that a lot of that is simply companies trying to protect other employees and also a liability issue that they're grappling with. Don't mistake severity of illness with some of the reactions that some companies are having. Because the reality is the high-risk folks, the people dying from COVID-19 are over 75 years of age. That's what the research shows on almost every major you know, epicenter of the activity, is it's folks over 75 years of age is the vast majority. People 18 to 44, it's like 0.6% of the population, you know, of people that have had COVID-19 are having mortality issues. So it's definitely, you know, it's still, you know, large numbers, but the reality is the folks that are at highest risk of severe illness are the folks over a certain, you know, over 75 years of age, and definitely if they have chronic medical issues. So when I look at what's happening right now, I think the experience I'm seeing and my team is seeing is that this is a situation you would experience during an intense flu season. I'm not sure about everything in the world being shut down, because that's not what we do during flu season. I do believe in 23 years of practice, this is exactly what it feels like to me. We just happen to be in the peak of flu season. Yes, there are a lot of cases, and the vast majority of people do okay. You got to keep in mind, there's millions of people that have recovered from this illness across the world. And I think what we're finding with all this testing, and I'll give a little anecdotal, you know, sort of take on why that might be. We're doing so much testing now that I think what's happening is you're seeing more cases because a lot of them are asymptomatic or were asymptomatic to begin with. I know that in several of the ones I treated or intervened with yesterday, most of them were fairly had very few symptoms, but yet, of course they had a positive test. So everyone around them goes and gets testing and there's this kind of wave effect that occurs around every person that seems to come back positive with the testing. But again, it feels mostly like a flu season from the ground level here. We see patients that do this during flu season. They turn positive. They're not very sick. Some of them are fairly sick for a few days. And then we see a few that end up in the hospital. So one thing I will say about COVID-19 that, again, this is completely anecdotal, one doctor's experience in my couple of weeks of treating this condition, COVID-19 does seem fairly contagious from person to person. If you listen to, I go back and I track, like say if a person comes in with COVID-19, I'll ask about their local contacts, when they were in contact with them. And there are some situations where it seems like, if I'm working in this office space with somebody or one family member gets it and two or three others get it, that seems fairly contagious even compared to like influenza. So again, that's completely anecdotal, but it is one of those things that says, hey, I think we should take a little bit of precaution with this in our interpersonal reactions and whether we're wearing masks and all these kind of things and washing our hands. Those things are probably important based on the idea in the short run that how contagious it appears to be. If you do contact COVID-19, obviously quarantine in place. It doesn't mean you have to go to the hospital. It doesn't mean if you've been tested, it doesn't mean you have to race off to a hospital. It doesn't mean something deadly is going to happen right away or anything may happen right away. But what it does mean is you need to protect yourself from spreading this to other people. And in your own household, do the best you can to distance yourself from folks in the same household. Interface with your medical team. If there's something you're not sure of, and I've told all my patients I've treated this way, if you feel like, hey, there's something wrong with my cough, I'm getting worse, I'm wheezing, anything that you think I'm not sure about this, please interface with your medical team. There's tons of telemedicine going on nowadays, and there's lots of ways to get care, and you don't have to feel like you're alone. Understand that millions of people have recovered from this. I think that's really important. And lastly, if you're high risk, and a lot of folks that we treat in our clinic, which is one of the reasons we keep people out of our clinic that are sick right now, is if you are high risk, like you have diabetes, congestive heart failure, heart disease, if you're over 75 years of age, you have options too. Please improve your health, especially for diabetes. I mean, Dr. John Sullivan, Dr. Guevara, myself, and my whole team at Future Focus have constantly been beating this drum for the last 20 years about how metabolic diseases, which seems to put people at risk, are one of the major reasons people get badly sick with COVID-19. Please do something about that. It's a lifestyle issue for most people with type 2 diabetes. Move, exercise, eliminate processed sugar. The sickest cases I have seen in the last 2 weeks are 100% related to diabetes. Let me reiterate that. The patients that I have seen that have been the sickest in recent weeks have 100%, in my experience, one doctor's experience, have been diabetics. Now, that doesn't mean diabetes, is the only thing that, makes people sick when they get COVID-19, but we do know from looking at statistics that metabolic disease is one of the major reasons, that the immune system gets off balance whenever we see people contract any type of illness. Forget about COVID-19, but influenza. So listen, if you're not sure what to do with that, I just put on the Future Focus Health Network, I just put a link and a course in on pre-diabetes. Even a diabetic could review that and get a few good lifestyle ideas on how to kind of improve their blood sugars, improve their general health, and boost their immunity. If you really want to get deep into things, look at the Killing Diabetes course, which is a course that kind of looks at, is reversing diabetes possible? Well, yes, it is. And this is how you do that. So take a look at those things. If those are of interest or if those are risks for you, at very least, just get the processed sugar out of the diet, start increasing your physical activity. You don't have to go to a gym to be physically active. You can simply go out for a walk in a nice park somewhere. Stay away from other people. You don't have to go and shake hands with everyone you see everywhere you go, but go and move. Don't let fear of a viral infection, don't let that be the reason that you are inactive and allow diet lifestyle to slip, which then leads to uncontrolled diabetes. This is one of the themes I'm seeing is people are allowing their existing medical issues to slip because they're staying home in fear of moving or doing anything that would improve their health. Don't be that one. Don't be that person. Be part of the solution. Improve your health. You'll feel better for it in the long run. Okay, in the remaining few minutes here, I want to wrap up by answering a few very specific questions from those folks that are in the Future Focus Health Network that have been following the COVID topic. I have been posting information there and lots of good questions and ongoing discussion, trying to keep it real there and make sure we give people quality information. So here goes. One from Nadine was, is there medical intervention saving lives and are the hospitals being overwhelmed by all the cases? In my community in South Texas, no, the answer is no. The hospitals are busy and they have seen an increase in ICU utilization and certainly people seeking care for COVID-19. But because probably of the initial social distancing and the fact that this is a secondary wave of the initial virus, does not appear to be overwhelming our capacities at this time, as I mentioned. So I think medical interventions, I think for the people that need medical intervention, again, most of the people I've treated have not required a lot of intervention per se. Yes, I think it's probably beneficial. Denise, just wanted to know, some good common sense measures and tips, things that might be help in this situation. I think I've covered some of those already. The big thing I want to emphasize is for those who are not at high risk, protect others. I do think hand washing makes sense. I do think wearing a mask in a crowded community area makes sense. I do think social distancing probably for the next week and a half makes sense, just like we would during cold and flu season. You don't want to go out and be in a place where there's a lot of people that could potentially be sick, and that's what happens when there's a big flu outbreak is everybody kind of lays low for a little bit. That's what needs to happen right now. Keep your distance, wash your hands, don't get around people that may potentially be at risk. Austin also asked, He has a specific question, so I'll go ahead and answer it here. But one of our folks ask, they're a barber and they work, with their hands on people all day long, and they also have a young child at home. And so I guess I'll go ahead and answer that question here. And the question was, should I close my shop? Should I, things like that? I can't really make those decisions for you, Austin, but I will tell you, a hairdresser and a barber are very intimate jobs. You have your hands on people's hair, and I don't know if you're wearing gloves or not wearing gloves, or even that's possible when you're cutting people's hair. If it were me and it was not a major hassle to do so, I would wear gloves when I was cutting people's hair and I would wear a mask. I would wash my hands religiously both before and after working with customers, and I would also ask them to wear a mask. I would not cut hair. I would not, service someone that refuses to wear a mask or doesn't respect your space in that capacity. Whether you take a day off or a vacation, things like that, because you have savings and don't really need to go to work, that's your call. But I will say that a person who works in that capacity where you're cutting hair, things like that, that's an intimate interaction with someone. You're touching people's hair, you could have virus and things like that. So again, it's one of those things you have to decide for yourself ultimately. You do say you have a young child at home. About a three-month-old, that is a child that has what they would consider an immature immune system. So I don't think there's any additional risk right there other than if the child has any signs of illness or fever, just like you would for any other child of that age, regardless of COVID-19, you would also get them checked up. But I don't think your work is, if you're going to come home and interact with the child, just make sure you've washed your hands and things like that. And I don't think there's anything you can really predict as far as being a higher risk. I hope that helps. It's a little bit of a complicated question. Maybe I'll certainly we can chat on the Future Focus Health Network edition if you have more questions about that. D mentioned being tired of hearing everything on the news, would like some personal tips, things like that. I think that I've covered those a lot in this. D also mentioned it's kind of difficult to mentally be isolated and only hearing daily media. I do think it's important to know what's going on, but I would say keep the media minimal. There is, I've talked a lot about media fasting, and the media's job is to sell advertisement and to get you watching their programming. They do so through negative programming and inflammatory language and spins on the stories that they tell. So I think you have to be really careful about what you subject your mind to when it comes to media. If you're subjecting your mind to constant gloom and doom, constant negativity, and an undertone of, you know, you got the person on the news hyperventilating about the latest slight increase in, you know, spike in COVID-19 cases. One of the things, if you hear that, you need to turn it off if it upsets you. Because part of the issue, D, is that this is the expected outcome from the initial pandemic. Okay, this is what we expected would happen. You would see secondary waves of increased cases, especially in communities that have not been subjected to it yet. So this is nothing. They should be reporting this as, oh, there's an uptick in cases of COVID-19. Continue to watch your social distancing. Continue to wash your hands. They should be giving all these practical tips and also encouraging people who are sick to quarantine themselves, all these kind of things. But they should say at the end of all that, because this was what was expected. This is what we thought would happen. This is what should be said by everyone. Instead, we get, you know, hyperventilating and, I've said before in other scenarios, I think the fear is probably way more contagious than COVID-19 right now. The reality is, yes, there are people that are going to get sick. I do not negate that. I fully respect this condition and the fact that it's going to make people sick, and there's still going to be some people that die from it. But that happens every day, everywhere in the world, for all kinds of different reasons related to infectious disease. What is this doing? It's spreading rapidly amongst a population, and most people, the vast majority of people, survive the illness and do just fine. I just got off a couple of visits prior to recording this where the people thought they had allergies, and it turned out it was the COVID-19 positive. So it's like, okay, it's hard to not, you know, ignore the fact that most of the population is being expecting something more severe than was what is actually happening to the vast majority of people. I don't want to go too much longer on that, but it's one of those things that's just, it's serious, it should be respected, but at the same time, we should be rational about what's happening and be careful what you're subjecting your mind to as far as social media goes. I think that's all the questions. I'm going to close there. Please leave a comment in the Future Focus Health Network COVID section if you have any further questions. I can add to this next week if this is beneficial. Just let me know what you think of the post. Thanks.